This is an amateur recording of Seamus Young's book, How I Learned. It can be found online at his website, seamusyoung.com/20sided tale. Chapter 23, Intermediate. It is 1986, and I'm moving on to the next stage of school. I'm leaving behind the junior high and attending school at the intermediate building, which is for grades 9 and 10. I gather that this is unusual, and that most schools have a single building for grades 9 through 12. Perhaps this is due to our class size, which was well over 700 students. The previous school building was an ancient relic from a bygone era, constructed of worn wood and tired bricks. The intermediate building is a snazzy, new, modern thing, made with modern sensibilities and following all the latest trends of institutional design. Students describe it as like a prison, only you never go outside for fresh air. At a few key points, there are large overhead domes to let in the sunlight, like an upscale mall. This is good because the rest of the hallways seem to be lit by 20-watt bulbs, like a Minecraft tunnel constructed by a guy running low on torches. A majority of the rooms have no windows. Of the few that do, they only get a pair of narrow vertical windows, which are angled carefully so as to avoid the dangers of students being exposed to direct sunlight. These windows are so narrow that an adult would find it impossible to squeeze through one. Not that these windows open. No, these are hermetically sealed to protect students from the hazards of fresh air. So the student body mills around in this darkened box like a colony of mole people, breathing the same air all day and forming wild theories about what sort of weather might be taking place beyond the doors of our vault. I don't know that anyone ever had done a formal study, but it's accepted as a fact that the intermediate building has a higher-than-average occurrence of fights and sickness. In English class, we're given an assignment to write an epic. We're given a list of attributes common to epic stories, and told to create a story with a similar structure. Thankfully, the list of attributes is fairly small, much smaller than it would be involved in creating a real epic, and it doesn't need to be poetry. It's a free-form assignment, which means I'm interested in doing it. At first, I decide to subvert the style by setting the story in a sci-fi future. I hammer away at the idea, but it's too big and unwieldy for me at this age. The deadline comes, and I decide I hate the idea. A reasonable student would simply plow forward. After all, the assignment is due in the morning. It's better to finish it than to start over, but I'm not a reasonable student. I'd rather turn in nothing than turn in something I'd hate. I get the idea to simply do a spoof of The Odyssey, which I title The Odd Essay. I hammer the whole thing out in a single draft, cursing myself for not thinking of the idea sooner. This is my first work of parody, and I find it comes naturally to me. The title should give you an idea of the level of sophistication we're talking about here. My style is mostly slapstick at this stage of my development, and most of my jokes seem to hail from Mel Brooks' era of comedy spectrum. I get a B+, which is a very good grade, but short of excellent. The teacher adds the note that she really enjoyed the story, but she had to detract points for numerous misspellings, a few small grammatical errors, and the fact that it was all done in pencil. This being English class, I realized she was very, very generous toward me, and my creativity has probably spared me from something much lower. I'm gratified to see my work was graded based on originality instead of exclusively on word count, page count, and neatness. The goal of the assignment was to learn about epics, but my goal was to create something worth reading. I'm still hanging out in the library in the morning. I've discovered a group of 6 Dungeons & Dragons players that meet there, and I spend every morning sitting near their table, watching them play. The DM is fond of traps. Every time the party goes anywhere, he makes them roll, and then announces that they have just set off another trap. Then an argument ensues because they haven't established who is leading the group. In a strange sort of ambiguity only possible in a tabletop game, they know someone in the group has been injured, but they don't know who. The players all have reasons why their character wouldn't be in the front of the group right now. Finally, they come to some agreement, and one of them grudgingly accepts the consequences. They write down the marching order of the party to avoid having the same argument the next time the trap has sprung. Odds are, the note recording their marching order will mysteriously vanish before their next session. I'm there with them. Every day. Nobody questions this stranger dropping in on their game. Nobody gives me a hard time. I find the game exciting, but I'll never ask to play, and they never invite me. I don't even speak, because I'm afraid of committing some social blunder that will cause them to shun me. I just want to watch. It will be 20 years before I sit down at a table to play for myself. For the curious, they were playing Queen of the Demon Web Pits, which is now considered a classic of old-school Dungeons & Dragons.